Economic development leaders in Michigan like to talk about the number of manufacturing jobs created in the state in the last couple of years. But Michigan is not keeping up with the overall job growth of some other states as the nation recovers from the Great Recession. It's Thursday, which means we talked to Daniel Howes, business columnist with the Detroit News. Daniel, earlier this week, I was questioned by a reporter who works for the free market think tank Mackinac Center for Public Policy about a term I used. I described job growth in Michigan as anemic. Your column seems to support that description. What are some of the numbers and how do they compare to other states?
Yeah, I think it really does support it, frankly. You know, we've done very well in manufacturing jobs, leading the nation more than 50% ahead of number two Texas. But overall, from percentage gains, we rank about 30th, according to the Pew Charitable Trust State Line Unit. Over the last 12 months, we created 32,300 jobs, which compares to 34,100 in Indiana, but my favorite is Texas was 10 times at 326,000 plus in that same period. So, and even the economic basket cases of California and New York are doing a heck of a lot better. And North Carolina, which has a population almost identical in size to Michigan, was creating jobs at twice the rate. I think they did somewhere north of 73,000 for a much better growth rate. So we clearly have got a lot more work to do here, and I think the economic problems with the city of Detroit teetering on the edge of bankruptcy is not going to help. And some of the macroeconomic conditions that we're seeing, rising interest rates, slowing growth rates, the second quarter GDP did not come in as strong as economists expected. So it's not going to be an easy haul. And I think the broader issue, too, is that there's a bit of a policy stalemate in Lansing, which isn't helping things.
Right. I want to talk about that a little later, but I want to talk about this first. Your column seemed to suggest that we're falling back into that pattern of being too reliant on the auto industry. That's something Governor Snyder has warned about, saying we need to diversify. But the governor is getting pushback from his own party on some of the things he wants to do to make the economy more robust. What are some of the things you're concerned about?
Well, I think he's raising some very smart issues about higher education spending, for example, and there are other policy issues. He wants to expand Medicaid, but he's gotten into an ideological battle in his own party. I think what people need to remember here, particularly the people on the right side of the Republican Party, is that the kind of people that might want to invest in Michigan maybe take a little bit more Catholic with a small C view of what makes a vibrant community. And one of those things clearly is an entrepreneurial culture. It's also an educated population. And we just clearly are not keeping pace with that. And that's not a partisan argument so much as it's a factual one.
How does Medicaid expansion and more money for roads fit into that?
Well, clearly, I think more money for roads speaks to the quality of life and just moving around the state. I mean, any of your listeners know what the roads can be like in Michigan. And I think the governor makes a fairly compelling argument about pay now or pay a lot more later. The problem with that is twofold. One is it's very hard to get elected and sitting politicians to think 10 and 20 years down the road. As a practical matter, they typically don't do that because it's not in their political interest. And secondly, of course, is a real political complication, and that is raising gas taxes to fund it. And that's very unpopular. It's unpopular all over the country. You see that in the context of environmental laws and fuel economy regulations at the federal level, and now you're seeing it here in Michigan, and it should be no surprise.
This kind of seems to boil down to an ideological struggle between the governor, a numbers guy, and the rank and file of the legislature who are looking at issues beyond the economy. How does that affect the ability of the Republican majority to effectively govern the state?
Well, I think it complicates it. And I don't think it's going to get any easier as we get closer to the 2014 elections. And I think that's part of the point here, isn't it? Is that we kind of are – there was a consensus early on in Snyder's term, they had both houses. The Republicans controlled both houses. They had a new Republican governor after 8 years of Jennifer Granholm. They knew that the budget was a mess. They knew that they had to do some stuff on taxes. There were some things that were pretty obvious that they coalesced around, and they moved it through. Now, as you get on the other side of this, I think that there's been a lot more pushback. Right to work was a very good example. I don't think that's something the governor necessarily wanted to do, but he got into a situation where he didn't have much of a choice, he felt politically. And now I think you move into the next chapter, and I think it's going to be increasingly difficult. I mean, the spectacle of the governor of Michigan going around the state and essentially lobbying his own party and hectoring his own party in his own Senate is, I don't think, particularly attractive. I mean, we've certainly seen that from Barack Obama going around the country and beating up on Republicans, but you don't see him going around the country beating up on his own party, and I think that's the difference.
Yeah, you wrote, contention is the new consensus on what's next. You want to further explain what you mean by that?
Well, I just think they're going to continue to argue about this. I think you're going to have a Senate particularly that is worried, some of whom are going to be standing for re-election are worried that they're going to get primaried by Tea Party Republicans. And as a result, it's going to be a very difficult argument that the governor has to make to them to get him to move on some of the things that are important to him, like road funding, as one example.
I want to go back to the idea of these manufacturing job numbers being fairly decent. You quoted the CEO of Business Leaders for Michigan, Doug Rothwell. He said about some of these job growth numbers in the manufacturing sector, quote, "This is typically the time when Michigan goes back to its old ways," unquote. What does he mean by that?
I think he means pretty much the cyclicality by getting comfortable. We're doing well enough. Listen, one of the hallmarks of the culture, I think, and writing about the business and financial culture of both the public sector and the private sector here is that good enough is good enough. And that's historically been kind of the attitude. And I think what you've seen with the auto companies coming out of bankruptcy, and they actually realized it, I think, before they went into bankruptcy, that good enough was no longer good enough. And you had to be better. You had to keep leaning forward. You had to be pushing to be competitive. And I don't think there's any question that that is the case. And I think what Doug's point is that how we don't know how much of that understanding has really seeped into the public consciousness. You look at a state like Texas, their job creation rates are off the charts. But then you start to look a little deeper into the structure of the state, and it's very different than a state like Michigan from a tax base or tax its tax load to business creation to a whole host of other things. And those are real. And capital is more mobile than it's been in any time in human history. And people have choices. And they don't have to come to Michigan. They certainly don't have to stay here. And particularly if they've got a mobile business. And increasingly, they do. You look at somebody like Quicken Loans in downtown Detroit, they're there because their founder wants to be there. But let me tell you, he could move that business out of there in a weekend if he wanted to. Because of the kind of business he is, it's just a bunch of people and computers, and that's and an internet connection, and that's basically that business. So people need to recognize that if you're not competitive, people will leave, and we've seen it, and we'll see it again. And I think that's what Doug's concern is, and it's my concern too. Is that we're doing well enough that people will start to become complacent again. And you'll get petty fights in the legislature like you're already getting, and they're taking their eye off the ball, and they're worrying about their own petty political problems than they are trying to make Michigan more attractive.
Okay, so bottom line this for me. How do you assess where we are and what we need to do to get where we need to be in Michigan?
Well, I think bottom line is, we're only through about midway through maybe the second quarter, to use borrow a football metaphor, and I think we need to be a little bit focused on a little bit more about what works and what needs to be done as opposed to what fits into ideological boxes. I do think in some cases that the right wing of the party that has a tendency to say no to everything, no can be a legitimate policy answer, but I don't think it can always be the policy answer, and that's a real problem, and that will continue to cleave the party. So I think road funding is important. I think higher ed is important, very important. But it's going to be a heavy lift. I think more accountability in the public sector is important. We here in Southeast Michigan are just inundated with scandal in Detroit and Wayne County. We need a rather major house cleaning. I don't think that helps us because all that is very public in a 24/7 news cycle and Google. People know all the stuff that goes on here, and it isn't a very flattering picture.
Daniel Howes is business columnist with the Detroit News and joins Stateside every Thursday. Thanks, Daniel.
My pleasure. Thank you.